and amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for choosing us, making us worthy to be in the service of the Lord and to serve you in ways that even angels are not allowed to serve. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the power. Thank you for the vision, the heavenly vision. We pray, Lord, nothing will stop the onward move of the children, the people, the army of God, in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that if there be any persecution from outside, from inside, from around, it rather strengthen us more and more for the work of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Nothing will stop us. Nothing will stop your church. But the great commission will be fulfilled by your chosen peculiar people in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
In Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, we have the result of what happened in chapter 3. In chapter 3, John and Peter, Peter and John had appeared at the gate Beautiful. And he saw this man impotent in his feet. He was born that way. He had never walked, and he was about 40 years of age now. And as they were going into the temple to pray at the hour of prayer, the Spirit prompted Peter and John to wait. And Peter said, "Look on us," because they were going to give him something. They had gotten something in chapter 2 when they were all seated with one accord. And that whole place was filled with a rushing mighty wind, and cloving tongues like as of fire came upon each of them. At that time, they got the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Ghost and power from heaven. Not only that, the name of Jesus became so activated, authoritative in them. So they said, "Look on us." Then the man looked upon them, looking at them steadfastly, expecting to receive something. If you look, desire, expecting to receive, you receive more than you are waiting for. And so he looked upon them, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter was so sure that the word of authority in the name of Jesus will work mightily. So he lent him his hand, raised him up, and the ankle bones that never was strong enough to carry his weight received strength, stood up, and then he began to walk and to leap and to jump, and was praising the Lord. The result of that, Acts chapter 4, we're looking at verse 4. "How be each many of them which heard the word believe," because after the miracle, Peter began to say, "Were you looking on us? I see by our own power or holiness, we made this man walk, but the faith he had in the name of Jesus gave him this perfect soundness in the sight of you all." And then he began to say, "I know through ignorance you did what you did, because your leaders led you, and you followed sheepishly, blindly, and you crucified the Prince of Life, and God raised him up. Repent ye therefore and be converted, so that your sins may be blotted out, and a time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God has blessed you in sending forth Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, in turning you away from all your sins. As a result of that, we're told those who heard the word, they believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And these people were ushered into the kingdom of God. As these people went towards heaven, the leaders of religion went farther and farther towards hell, adding to their sin. Already they crucified Christ. Already they said, let his blood be upon us. And further now, that name of Jesus, that these apostles, two of them, that they proclaimed and exalted, and that gave the man a great, instantaneous, unprecedented miracle. They wanted to continue in their persecution. They laid hands on them and put them in hold. And the following day, because now it was evening, the following day, they brought them out. And they wanted to know something. By what name, by what authority have you done this? Then the Spirit came upon Peter, filled him all over again, and he opened his mouth, and he said, men, brethren, if we be examined as to what has happened, the power, the name, the authority that got this man up, be it known unto you that the Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, confrontational, and God raised him from the dead, he had given this man, whom you see and know, is giving him this perfect soundness. And then he said, neither is there any other name given among men whereby we must be saved except through this name, the name of Jesus. They saw something. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, don't misunderstand that. Unlearned in tradition, ignorant of the deep things of the Jewish religion, but learned of the knowledge of heaven, because knowledge personified Christ. The knowledge of God, deep and high and broad, came from heaven. And they stayed with him 3.5 years, and he gave them knowledge. They were not ignorant of the kingdom of heaven. They were not ignorant of the power of heaven. They were not ignorant of the eternality and the ability and the authority of heaven. But to the Sanhedrin, and to those Jewish leaders, they were ignorant of the Jewish kind of education. Saying that they were ignorant men, they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Well, if they did this one day, and 5,000 plus the other 3,000 came to the Lord, plus the people that were being saved every day, Acts chapter 2 verse 47, what will happen if these people are allowed to continue like this? Though so, they threatened them. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, not teach in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 19. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered, if we are not to teach, that's the only reason we're living. That's the only reason we breathe. That's the only reason he left us here. That's the only reason he filled us, baptized us, immersed us in the Holy Ghost. Not to preach is not to live. Not to teach is not to live. Because the only thing, this solitary thing, absolutely, why he left us here is to preach. And so when these people said, don't preach, then Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judging. If it's right for us to exalt man, mortal man, above God, the mighty maker, you can judge. If it's right to put you above the Almighty God, to fear you, to honor you, and to bend down to you, and to submit our commission that we have from God, to submit that because of you thinking you're higher than God, you can judge. I'm not going to judge that for you. Then in verse 20 it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter said, John said, we saw a lot when we were with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we heard a lot. And recently, as we saw him risen from the dead, we saw something we never expected, and we heard the words of the Almighty God from heaven. The things we've heard, the things we've seen. And just a few days ago, we saw the fire coming upon each of us. We heard the sound from heaven, and we saw the rushing mighty wind. And then we heard, I heard John speaking a language he never learned. He heard me speaking a language I never learned. And all the other people were seeing something. And Sanhedrin will serve you notice. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were paralyzed. The impotency of the man that got healed, that impotency came on them. Their voice became impotent. Their mind became impotent. What are we going to do to these men? Because that a notable miracle had been wrought is clear and plain to everyone. Okay, let's threaten them. It's an impotent threat. It didn't carry any weight, didn't carry any water. And the people went back and he told the company, they told all the believers what the Sanhedrin had said with their trembling, impotent, fearful voice. And in verse 24, they lifted up their voice and they prayed. And they prayed and prayed and prayed. And then we're told in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaking when they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. They have gone, you are there. It's your time. The Holy Ghost filling you, saturating you, empowering you, enveloping you, and you will preach with that same boldness they had on that day. We're looking at the message, the ministry, and mastery of the master's men. The master's men. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the faithful partners in the ministry of the crucified Christ. Number two, the faithless persecutors of ministers and consecrated Christians. Number three, the fervent preachers of the message of the conquering Christ. Look at number one. Number one, the faithful partners in the ministry of the crucified Christ. Faithful partners. The word together, already we've come across them. Look at chapter 4, verse 13, John, Acts. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, those were the partners. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, those were the partners. Now these partners, one, they were called, they were converted. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets and they followed Christ. These people were sanctified. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou art given me. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. These two people, Peter and John, along with the rest of the people, which in Jerusalem, until ye be a filled, endued with power from on high. For as John baptized with water, so not many days hence you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These partners were in agreement, because they were all with one accord in one place, and all the 120 of one accord, and Peter and John of one accord in Amos chapter 3. Reading from verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except it be agreed? Peter and John walking together. Peter and John laboring together. Can two labor together? Can two walk together? Can two work together? Can two win together? Can two witness together like Peter and John did, except they be agreed? There was no division. They were of one accord. Faithful partners in the ministry of the crucified Christ. Look at three things. Number one is the team of transformed, empowered, anointed ministers. The team, T-E-A-M. T, transformed. And E, empowered. A, anointed. M, ministers. When you have such a team, joined together, put together by the Heavenly Father and by the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will do wonders in Jesus' name. Number two is their task of teaching, T again, evangelizing, that's E, A, all men. That's the team again. The team is there so that we teach, we evangelize all men. Look at number three here. Number three is the triumph through training, equipping, assisting members. That's what their team did, and that's what our team ought to do. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the team of transformed, empowered, anointed ministers. We read from Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 7. Acts 4, 7, when they had set them, Peter and John, the team, in the midst, they asked, by what power or what name have ye done this? Look at verse 8. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ had said, when they bring you before the government officials, meditate not as to what are you going to say? Are you going to prepare to answer their question? It says, because it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which is in you. So the Spirit came upon him. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Verse 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done, healing is a good deed done, provision is a good deed done, performance of the promise of God is a good deed done, answer to prayer, solution to problem is a good deed done to this impotent, to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. In verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Look at verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And now in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereof, whereby we must be saved. In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they couldn't find their names in the register of the people that enrolled in their school. They couldn't find their names in the register of those who did correspondence calls with them. They couldn't find their name, and they couldn't find any certificate that they signed. But if they looked thoroughly, they would have seen the certificate that they got from heaven, signed by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But because they couldn't find their own signature on them, they couldn't find their own kind of emblem on them, they said they were learned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. That was the power they had. Their lives had been transformed, and their heart and mind had been empowered. They had been anointed, and they formed a great team that could confront and stand against everything those people were saying or doing. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. In Romans chapter 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, don't leave this transformation to only Peter and John, not for all the brethren. It says, I'm beseeching you by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. If you are conformed to the world through their education, through their policies, through their politics, and through their provision, and through their certificates, you are conformed unto them, you cannot rise above your worldly teachers. But Peter and John rose above these worldly people, because they were not under them. They were not submitting to them. They had the transformation, the empowerment, the anointing, the ministration from heaven. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that she may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We're looking at number two here. Number two, the task of teaching evangelizing all men. What was the task that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master, the Messiah, the Mediator, what task did he give them? Go ye, teach all nations. What task did he give them? Preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you'll cast out devils. In my name you'll speak with new tongues. In my name you'll take off serpents and throw them away. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not touch you. In my name you'll lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. They had a task they were to fulfill. Evangelize all men and teach all men. Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 18. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You know what the Sanhedrin said? Don't teach in this name. That's exactly what they were living for. If you look at, you know, those who tried to, maybe you're persecuted. It may be in your unbelieving family. It may be in your community. It may be in your village. It may be in your town. It may be in your school. It may be with the company of the people that surround you, and they persecute you. You know why they persecute? To make you stop doing the highest and the greatest commandment of your life, which comes from heaven. Always understand that. What he told them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 20. Baptize, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you as long as you continue doing what he has raised you up to do, what he has commanded you to do, what he has commissioned you to do. Then lo, I am with you always. If you stop doing what he commissioned, what he commanded, if you stop doing the sin for which he left you here on earth, and there's no point for his presence to stay with you then, because the reason his presence, his power is with you is because he left you to do something, and you are doing it, and that is the greatest, the most important thing to heaven of everything that takes place on the face of the earth. And it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the believers said, Mark chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 15, Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, Peter and John included, you and I included, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They said, don't tell any man, don't talk to any man, don't preach to any man. But the Lord had said, preach the gospel to every creature. In verse 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, like the Pharisees, he that believeth not, like the Sadducees, he that believeth not, like the members of the Sanhedrin, their position, they didn't have pardon from their sin. They didn't have the peace of God. They didn't have the power of the gospel working in their life. They did not believe. They saw, they heard, they even said that a notable miracle has been done in this man. We cannot deny it. But they did not believe on the source of that miracle. They did not believe on Christ, whose name healed that man. And so for them, he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They'll come out. They shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, and it says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Sat on the right hand of God. What's he doing there? Interceding for us on the right hand side of God. And being by the Father God exalted and lifted up to his right hand, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. As he abides in the right, on the right hand side of God, he's empowering us, he's anointing us, he's encouraging us, and he's enveloping us with the power of heaven. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. The Lord will walk with you, and confirming the word with signs following. If you want to say amen, say it well. Number three is the triumph through training, equipping, assisting members. That's what we ought to do. We're training. That's part of the work of the team. And we are as a team together. Chi, we train. E, we equip. A, we assist. M, we assist all the members. It tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Acts 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. They had heard that Philip, when he got to Samaria, he preached the word of the kingdom, and many people came to the Lord. And these two, the pair, the partners, they sent them there to go train the people, to go equip the people, and to go assist in the great work going on there, that when they laid their hands on them, they might receive the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And he thinks that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now for Peter and John, the things they had heard and learned and received from the Lord, they were now to go transfer them to the disciples in Samaria. And it says the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's more important, instead of one man going out and reaching 100 people, and all the time going out and going out, let him train 100 trainees, so that these 100 will go out and do what he alone will not be able to do. Philip is gone out. He's gone to Samaria. A great revival came by one Philip. What if all those believers that have come to know the Lord will be trained, and they will have what Philip had. And that's what we ought to be interested in. Want to keep on encouraging, want to keep on engaging, equipping, enlisting the people who have come to know the Lord. We're coming to Ephesians chapter 4. I read from verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 11. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12, it says, for the perfecting, maturing, and the training of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at the faithless persecutors of ministers and consecrated Christians. We're told in Acts chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Acts 4, reading from verse 1. And as they speak unto the people, Peter and John, the priest and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. They arrested them. They put them into the prison. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the faithless persecutors of courageous ministers. Number two, the fruitful persecution. Look at that. People think they don't go together. Persecution and fruitfulness, yes, they go together. Because we're told, the more the children of Israel were oppressed, the stronger they became, and the more they became, until Pharaoh began to fear that these people, one day, they'll be so strong, they'll come out, they'll get out. And so, persecution can bear fruit. Fruit of evangelization, and fruit of discipleship, and fruit of strengthening the body of believers, the fruitful persecution of consecrated members. Number three is the faithful preservation by Christ the mighty. Look at number one. Number one is the faithless persecutors of courageous ministers. It tells us what they did in Acts. Acts chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 17. Acts 4, 17. But that it spread no further among the people. You understand the intention, the plan, the strategy. They wanted to, the church was just in Jerusalem. It had not gone to Judea. It had not gone to Samaria. It had not gone to the uttermost part of the earth. And they said, it started with us here. We'll contain this. We'll confine this. We'll limit this, that it spread no further. No further than Jerusalem. Doesn't go to all the cities of Israel. And shouldn't go to Judea, suburb. Shouldn't go to Samaria. And shouldn't go to the Gentile world. We can nip it at the bud, stop it there. They were not able to do that. They will never be able to do that. Give a good amen. Amen. So they wanted it just there. So that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly, strictly, firmly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. That for their reason. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which is in Judea, and they are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews. Look at verse 15. Verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and persecuted us, and they please not God. The preachers were pleasing the Lord. The persecutors were not pleasing the Lord. And so anyone can decide which part he wants to join. Anyone can decide which part she wants to join. The people were pleasing God, preaching salvation, converting sinners, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed. You can decide which side you want to be. Of the people that did not please the Lord, what were those people doing who were not pleasing the Lord? It says they walk contrary to all men. Verse 16. In verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Exactly. What those people, the Sanhedrin, what they started with, this one now also, they continued, forbidding them that they will not speak in the name of Jesus to get people saved. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You know why they were doing that? They were not having faith, faithless. We're told in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I read here from verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. That's why they persecuted. They didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have faith. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He'll keep me from evil. He'll keep you from evil. Look at number 2, the fruitful persecution of consecrated members. Persecution, fruitful, because it strengthened the believers. The persecutors knew we've got something. The persecutors knew that we'll get all their slaves, all their subjects, the slaves of the powers of darkness, will get them from their hand. They were afraid of us, that if we continue like this, we're going to bring liberation, freedom, deliverance unto the captives of those wicked religious people. But we're getting stronger by the day, because we remain consecrated members. Therefore, persecution becomes fruitful in our lives. In Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 40. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beating them, that was the persecution for that day, for that time, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. That's fruit, the joy of the Lord. And they had the right interpretation. They accepted the persecution. They were not fighting against the persecution, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42, and daily in the temple. Those members of the Sanhedrin, they were in those temples, in that temple. They didn't run away from them. They didn't hide. Well, they arrested us the other time. They beat us the other time. And they imprisoned us the other time. And they're still there. So if we go to the temple, they'll get us again. Why don't we hide? No. People who are filled with the Holy Ghost don't hide. Those who are empowered by the Spirit of God from on high, they don't hide. I won't say everything I have in mind because they are there. You are hiding. I won't act with the boldness the Holy Ghost has given me because they will say, look at her, look at him. Instead, talking boldly with what is going through, okay, that what we've done is not enough. We'll do more. So I'll hide my boldness so that I act weak. I act spineless so that they will think they have got me and they have sucked out strength from me and they will pity me. You're hiding. Don't hide. Did he hide? They went to that same temple every day. And it says daily. They were in the temple and in every house. And he ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. The Lord strengthen you. The Lord empower you more. Chapter 8, we're looking at verse 4. In chapter 8, verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. We're coming to number 3 here. Number 3, the faithful preservation by Christ the mighty. Christ the mighty one, and he's mightier than all the persecutors. The Holy Ghost is the energizer. And he is stronger and greater than all the persecutors. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 18. And I say also unto you, unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Any good amen from your mouth? Look at Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The Lord is praying for you, making intercession for you. You will not be weakened in Jesus' name. Verse 26, in verse 26, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're looking at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. The Lord will keep you in every storm, in every howling gale, whatever, the Lord will keep you. In all the storm of persecution, the Lord will keep you. And you will not be tired. The persecutors will get tired. You will not be weak. Your persecutors will become weaker and weaker. And as David works stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul works weaker and weaker, the power, the anointing, the authority of the house of David will be upon your life. And weakness will catch up with your persecutors in Jesus' name. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at the fervent preachers of the message of the conquering Christ. Crucified, yet he conquered death, conquered the grave. He rose again. And these were now the preachers of the conquering Christ. Fervent preachers of the message of the conquering Christ. We're told in chapter 4 of Acts, I'm reading from verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Verse 20. But now you judge, which you will judge, which you we evaluate, which one is right in the sight of God, hearken unto man or hearken unto God. As Peter and John told them, you judge, they also judged. And they decided, our judgment is, our decision is, will obey God rather than man. Verse 20. In verse 20, it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Which we have seen and heard. That's why, after they preach, verse 31, in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And everything shakeable will be shaken out of our assembly in Jesus' name. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with
boldness.
Say it again.
Boldness.
Not with caution, covered mouth, with fear, with timidity, with trembling, speaking the word, but under their breath and their heart, they're coming. And they're looking backward, whether they're sending people to catch them. No, they were free. It's the other people who are bound. You are free.
Yeah.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you're free, no chain, no padlock on your mouth, and no chains on your feet, and there is no chain in your heart. The way you speak, the way you stand, the way you proclaim the word of the Lord will show the Son has set this man free. The Son has set this woman free. The Son has set this church free. We're free in Jesus' name. Look at number one here. Number one, the fervent preachers of the reigning and sovereign Christ. Number two, the fellow prisoners for righteousness and steadfast consistency. Number three, the final prophet of his return and second coming. Look at number one. Number one, the fervent preachers of the reigning and the sovereign Christ. These were preachers, they were fervent with all their heart, with all their boldness, with all the flame and the fire of the Holy Ghost in them. They fervently, courageously proclaimed the word of the Lord. It tells us in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, reading from verse 13. The God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. In verse 31, him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They said what he needed to say. They had seen him, he rose from the dead. They have seen him when the doors were locked. He came in and said, peace be unto thee. And he came with that power of resurrection. And the Lord, the Father God in heaven, has raised him up now to be a prince and to be a savior and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. We're looking at chapter 10, verse 39. Acts chapter 10, reading from verse 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 40. In verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Verse 41. Not to all the people. He didn't show himself to those who didn't want to see. And even if they saw, they will give bribe and say, saying that his disciples came and stole his body away while they were sleeping. Because they had hearts they couldn't understand, ears they couldn't hear, eyes they couldn't see. So the Lord did not show himself to the people that even if they saw, they will not perceive. Not to the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Verse 42. In verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Verse 43. In verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness, all the prophets of the Old Testament. They give witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness, remission of sin. Look at number two. Number two is the fellow prisoners, righteousness, and steadfast consistency. They were imprisoned because they believed in the Lord, and they proclaimed what they believed. In Acts chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Acts 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and they whisked them into the prison. Look at chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel came from heaven, opened the door for them, only for them, only for them, and said, go preach, declare this word of life to all the people. And he shook off all the prison chains, and he went forth and preached unto them. All the prison chains are shaking off from your life and from your family, and the things that try to bind you, because you're preaching the word, because you stand as a fervent preacher, declarer, proclaimer of the word. All your chains and yokes are broken in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Well, that didn't kill the church, that didn't stop the church, that didn't destroy the church. The church will not be destroyed by persecution in Jesus' name. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad because of the persecution, they went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. And as you go to this whole city, every capital city, every village, every town in this nation, and in every nation in Africa, every nation outside Africa, and will scatter, scatter, scatter abroad, the Holy Ghost will go with you. And will keep on preaching the word. And multitudes in their thousands, in their millions, will come to know the Lord in Jesus' name. Number 3 now, remember Peter and John. Now, we want to look at John in particular, the final prophet of his return and of his second coming. Look at Revelation chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 7. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh. Here is John. They had imprisoned him. He came out. They imprisoned him again at, he came out. And so they were fed up, because every time you imprison him, he comes out. Imprison him, he comes out. They now banished him to a kind of imprisonment in the Isle of Patmos. And he was there all alone. But the Lord never left him, even though they banished him. And now he became a great prophet of the return and of the second coming of Christ. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, that the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself in his real, in his regal, royal apparel. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation because of the imprisonment in the Isle of Patmos and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. He wouldn't stop preaching the word, teaching the word, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3. In chapter 3, we're reading from verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. He became the preacher, the prophet, the proclaimer of the return of Christ and of his second coming. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. No man will take your crown. Verse 12, in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. They'll not come and put him in prison anymore. Those people are forever incarcerated and confined into hell, fire, damnation. But he that overcometh, he overcomes all their persecution, all their imprisonment. He will no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Look at chapter 10, we're reading from verse 9. Here is John again, the Lord telling him, even though at this time now he was in his 90s, the authorities and the experts who have studied the New Testament and the survey of the New Testament, and they know the situation at that time in the reign of Domitian, the emperor that incarcerated him, imprisoned him. He was about 95, 96 years of age. And yet look at this in verse 9 of chapter 10. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter and out, but it shall be like honey in thy mouth. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, and I took the little book out of the hand of the angel, and then it says, and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, because the prophecies it was to utter, they became sweet. I'm so privileged, I'm so grateful to God, I got this from heaven that was sweet in his mouth, the favor of God. But when he got to his belly and he thought about it, meditated on it, became bitter because of the horrors that will come upon the world and upon Israel at the time of the great tribulation. And he says, as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Think about that. At 95, 96 years of age, the prophecy still came, the commission still continued. He'll keep on preaching and preaching to peoples, to nations, to tongues, even to kings. We're looking at chapter 11, verse 15. In chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, all the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. John, the fellow prisoner, the fervent preacher, the final prophet. We're told in chapter 16, verse 15. Chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief, a thief in the night. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Chapter 19. We're reading from verse 6. In chapter 19, verse 6, it says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. There was a day when the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they thought they were ready, and they had the final say. Whomever they wanted, they put into the prison. Whoever they wanted, they scourged, they whipped, they beat. They thought they were reigning. No. The victory, the triumph of the hypocrite is for a short while. But the Christ, the reigning Christ that reigns forever and ever. And it says, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7. In verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Yeah, that's what the Pharisees wanted to pollute, defile, corrupt. They wanted to stamp out the bride, the wife of the Lamb, the bride of the bridegroom, the church of the living God. And they wanted the church to only be thinking about them, to be changed to their persecution, and not to be able to think of the Christ, the bridegroom, and to miss out, to become like one of the foolish virgins. But no, the persecution couldn't stop the church. The persecution will not stop you. But they were clothed with fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation chapter 22. I'm reading from verse 12. Revelation chapter 22. We're looking at verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13. In verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 14. In verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments. You are blessed in Jesus' name, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. You'll enter into the heavenly city in Jesus' name. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll be there in Jesus' name. In verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's not, the Lord has not returned yet. The rapture has not taken place. And so the Spirit is still gathering people and calling people. By the people are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, go tell them, go preach to them, go proclaim to them. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You will do it. And many will come into the kingdom through us in Jesus' name. In verse 20, it tells us, it says, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
That grace will never fail in our lives. We're preachers and proclaimers of the gospel. Nothing will stop us.
Amen.
Nothing will stop you.
Amen.
And you will overcome every persecution, every pain, everything. Those people want to shut your mouth and they say, don't talk, don't preach. The more they do that, the stronger you'll become.
Amen.
Stronger and stronger every day. Until the perfect day. Brother, am I talking to you? Sister, daughter, am I talking to you? Let's rise up and let's praise the Lord for what the Lord will do. He's raised you up. He's raised me up. He's raised us up so that we'll be partners, a team, preaching the word of God, transformed, empowered, anointed, ministering, triumphant, reaching out, equipping other people, assisting in the work of the Lord, the work of the church, so that God will help us all to gather multitudes into the fold. And this church, his church, will never be destroyed by persecutors, by persecution. But every persecution come fruitful, that we do more and more to exalt, lift up, the name of Christ.